right, we are here at the Louisville Truck Show, still last day 2024, and I've got James Pittman with me. How you doing today, James?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. James, you're a driver. You're out of Houston. How long you been driving?
I'm driving a little over 6 years now.
6 years, and you got a couple stories that you were telling me, and I thought, you know what, this is going to be something that the audience would, you know, like to hear. Not that we want, you know, bad things to happen to anybody, but, you know, some of your stuff could maybe help another driver. Okay. First off, two things. Number one, you told us earlier about in the last couple days you were at a repair shop, was it?
Yeah, I was at a Love's down there in, I just, right on the Alabama-Georgia line.
So you're in a Love's, and the tractor's in the garage?
I had to take the tractor in. It was having problems with the speed, the cruise control.
You're having problems with the cruise control, and this is out of Love's, Did they get it fixed?
No, they were not able to fix it.
You know, to be honest with you, TAs, Love's, all of those mechanics, they're good for oil changes.
Yeah.
That's about it. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that they have mechanics at
They said they really couldn't do anything for your computer.
Yeah.
That's really a Freightliner issue, or we've run our trucks through Penske.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but anyway, so that's not really what we're getting at here. So you get done doing business, you come outside, and you take it from there.
Yeah, I was in the shop, and about an hour and a half, and I mean, had I just been 2 or 3 minutes longer coming out, that trailer would have been gone.
Yeah, why would it have been gone?
I came out, and I pulled around, going to my spot, and I get over there, and I see my trailer pulling off. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, okay, well, maybe that's not my trailer, like, because you don't ever think, you know, it's your trailer being stolen.
Right.
And so I'm looking at it, I'm like, well, those are my numbers. That's my trailer.
But that's not my tractor.
I was like, yeah, but that's not my tractor. And so I pull up, you know, which ended up screwing up my 10-hour break.
Right.
I was already like almost 4 hours into my 10-hour break.
Right.
And so I just gassed it and try to get up next. I'm honking the air horn, everything. He's just taking off.
Yeah.
Well, lucky for me, he got to the exit. There's one entrance and exit, and there was a line to get out. So he had to stop. So when he did, I just went around in the oncoming lane and cut him off.
Yeah. And what did he do?
He was looking at me like, what's your problem? I'm like, man, you're still in my trailer. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And he's like, this isn't your trailer. This is my trailer.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, it's not.
Well, let me ask you this. What company are you with?
AI Fleet.
So AI Fleet, they have their own trailers?
No. I think they have a few, but mostly they rent.
Okay, so this is a rental, like an extra or whatever.
Yeah, it's an extra.
Okay, so, but I mean, obviously he knew. I mean, you don't just hook to a trailer. So you cut him. Did you call the police?
No, I told him. I was like, at first I was like, hey, this is my trailer. He's like, no, it's not. This is mine. I said, it's my trailer. I said, I got the paperwork to prove it. I was like, I need you to back up and disconnect from it. I was like, well, we can call the police and settle this. And that's when he looked in his mirror and he was like, oh, this isn't my trailer.
Yeah, see, when the word police came out, that's when he changed his tune, didn't he?
Yeah, he was like, oh, the trailer next to it was mine.
Let me ask, yeah, right, did he go hook up to that trailer?
Yeah, and he took it, and they looked nothing alike. That other trailer had company name on it, it was blue, mine's white.
Interesting,
though. I don't see how you mix that up.
Yeah, that is crazy. So, did you have a load in there?
Yeah, I had those big paper. Like bales of paper.
Paper rolls?
Yeah, paper rolls.
Heavy load.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. What a load to steal.
Yeah. And
kind
I mean,
bizarre.
It's not like there was a seal on it. So if you're stealing the load, you could have gone and looked and saw that it was pretty much a useless load.
So as you're telling this story, I'm asking myself, was it like some young new guy? Did he look like a rookie? You know what I mean? Like you can usually tell.
I don't know. He looked like he was probably in his early 40s.
Hmm.
He was Middle Eastern.
Okay.
I don't know how new or experienced he was, but you know, after he realized he was caught, he was like, okay, I'll back it up. I'll back it up.
Right.
And so I stayed there so he couldn't go forward.
Yeah.
And he backed it up and he dropped it and he was like, I'm so sorry, that's my trailer over there. I was like, I don't care. I was like, give me my trailer back.
So it wasn't even the same color trailer or anything?
No.
It was like a pretty obvious thing.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, I mean, was there a it doesn't sound like It sounds like it was intentional, obviously, but...
Yeah. And so he dropped my trailer, and I told him, I was like, he was like, well, that's my trailer. I said, I don't care what you do. I said, get that trailer out of the spot then, because you'd cost me my spot.
Wow. So was the trailer that he's saying was his right next to where you were?
It was, there was a truck in between us. There was a space in between us.
Okay. I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a bizarre story.
Yeah,
you know,
it was. I wasn't sure.
Well, whether it was just a brain fart on his part or he was stealing it, it would have been all kind of craziness because obviously you would have had to report it stolen.
Right.
Yeah. You know, how long? Like you said, if you would have came out 3 minutes later, the trailer would have been gone, and then you would have had to call dispatch.
Right.
And then it would have got reported stolen, and then...
Even if it was an innocent mistake, you know, that's a heck of a mistake when you're going down the road, next thing you know, you get, you know, red and blues in your rear view.
You know, I can't remember the town. This is kind of like it. I met a trucking company once. They were telling me about this driver. And I think it's Greenville or Green something, Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like two towns with similar names. And one's in Philly area, one's in the Pittsburgh area. And he drove all the way to Pittsburgh when he should have went to Philly, which is about 450 miles apart.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so talk about a brain fart. You know, you're 450 miles out of route. Well, the same with this guy. If this was just an innocent brain fart on his part, imagine going 500 miles, backing in the door.
Yeah.
And they're like, why are you bringing us paper rolls, you know? and there you are going, well, I need another trailer and another load, all because of a brain
fart. And see, I think his was actually a reefer.
Wow.
Mine's a dry van.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sounding more bizarre. It really is sounding more like intentional.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder so you didn't really take note in what, if he had anything in the trailer or anything like that, the other trailer.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Did he actually hook to it and leave the other one?
Yeah, he actually hooked to it and left.
Wow. I'm not sure which way to believe on that one. You know, should we think that he's stealing? It almost does sound like he had an airhead moment, doesn't it?
It sounds like it, and I tried to give the benefit of the doubt. I got him to back up and drop the trailer, and I took the spot for the other trailer.
Yeah. Wow. That's bizarre. That's a bizarre one. You know, moving on, I want to touch base on, you know, I want you to take me through what you told me. You were involved in a rollover, correct?
Yeah.
And that was in what year was the rollover?
I want to say it was March of 21.
March of 21. And let's set the stage for the rollover, okay? So you were, what state were you in?
I was on 90 in South Dakota.
South Dakota, what month was it?
It was March.
Oh, you said March. Okay,
yeah.
So March is that month up in that area where bad storms blow in. So was it really bad weather?
No, it was actually very beautiful weather that day.
Okay.
I was coming from Montana.
Okay.
Weather was great. Wasn't cold, wasn't hot.
Right.
It was sunny. And I can't even remember the name of the town now. Mm. I think it was probably about halfway down 90 in South Dakota.
What time of the day was it?
It was probably around 7.
Were you like almost out of hours, or were you just getting started?
I was almost out of hours. I think I had about 3 or 4 more hours left on my clock.
Okay, so you weren't really tired or anything like that?
No. And I got there in that little town, and there was some traffic because they had an accident.
Right.
And so sunny weather, I was just like, my GPS was like, well, you can take this route and avoid that.
Okay.
So I said, okay, take a little back road and I'll avoid this. And I get on the back road. I passed one truck stop.
Can I just interject for 1 second? So your GPS, does it let you have trucking routes? Like, does it warn you of anything that might be a low bridge on that route or anything like that? Or is it just a regular GPS?
No, it's a truck GPS. So it'll let me know low bridges.
Right. Okay.
In fact, it won't even, like, if I go try to adjust my route, if it's a low bridge or a truck can't be on it, it won't even load the route.
Okay. Good.
So,
that's good.
It doesn't even let me, you know, bypass it and say, you know, I want to take it instead. But
yeah. So go ahead. So you're on the road now.
So I'm on the road. I passed one truck stop like as soon as I exit.
Right.
And I was going to stop in and remember it was going to get me a snack or something real quick before I took that back road. But it was full, you know, 7 something at night. It was getting full. It was a tiny little truck stop.
Right.
So I was like, okay, well, I'll just keep going. It says, my, you know, there's another truck stop in like 50 miles. So I just keep going. Got on that back road, a little two-lane road going through farm country there in South Dakota. And, I mean, out of nowhere, the skies just got dark. It started snowing. And I was like, okay, well, we're just going to go a little slower. So we tried to keep it, you know, around 30. And, I mean, it just, from there, ice, the road started icing up real bad.
Ouch. And there's nowhere to pull over.
No, there was
on
no,
those back roads.
No, because there was steep ditch on both sides.
Wow.
There was no shoulder.
The only thing you could do is slow it down and
slow it down and keep going.
Keep on going.
And so I was going, and then I hit a patch of ice and almost recovered.
Almost.
But just as I was recovering, I hit another patch.
Mm.
And that took me into the ditch. And I'd say that whole thing probably took about 30 seconds. But that was the longest 30 seconds and the slowest 30 seconds of my life. Like, everything slowed down. You know, there was a point where I'm about halfway down the ditch. I'm like, there's nothing I can do. I've got no control over this vehicle. It's going to do what it's going to do.
Mm.
And so
I'm... Were you screaming?
No.
No?
No. I had my dog in the truck. He was asleep in the back seat. And that hadn't even woke him up yet. And so I just... reached over, I grabbed my phone, and I stuck it in my little hoodie pocket because I knew we were going to flip or something. I knew that had
so
to be.
So you had the mindset to grab your phone as you're in the slide.
Yeah.
Wow.
I knew, well, there was nothing I could do. I had, my steering wheel had no...
Yeah. No, on ice it won't. So
yeah.
So it's almost like the Matrix. Like, you're just like, yeah, you're seeing things flying by and you're just grabbing your phone and... tucking that away.
I just knew I was going to need that, and I didn't know if, you know, when it flipped, if my phone was going to go out of reach or, you know, so I made sure I had that with me. And
that was a good mindset.
And when it hit the bottom, it just, I mean, it felt like it just slowly laid down.
Okay, so it wasn't a violent layover. You, what was it, that steep part of the shoulder you went over, and that's what rolled you?
Yeah, it, okay. Well, as soon as you left pavement, mm-hmm, there was nothing. It was a drop.
How deep was it?
I want to say it was probably about a 30-foot slope down.
Wow. And but you slowly, gently rolled over.
Yeah, that's what it felt like, at least to me.
Right.
Now, my dog, he may have had a different story on.
So what kind of dog do you have?
At that time, I had a Beagle Great Dane Blue Heeler mix.
What kind of a beagle mates with a Great Dane?
Well, his mom was a dog that I got for me and my wife when we got married. She was a Beagle Great Dane mix.
Ruth Ann's over there shaking her head like, did he just say Beagle Great Dane? What was the third one?
It was Blue Heeler.
Wow.
Yeah, because we had the mom. She was Beagle Great Dane, and then there was a Blue Heeler mix that was living in the woods, and she came in heat and...
I mean, like, the little ones would need a stepladder for that Great Dane. That doesn't even make
not
sense.
Not really. She was about the size of a beagle, but she had the posture of a Great Dane.
Wow. That's crazy. So the dog did not get hurt?
No, the dog did not get hurt. He's a little shaken up, but he actually came and checked on me. I was stuck in my seatbelt in the driver's seat, and I couldn't get the latch to undo. So I had to use one of the little seatbelt cutters. But first, I just kind of angled my feet to the side, that way when I drop on that passenger window.
Oh, so your rollover was, you were laying on the passenger side.
Yeah.
So you were up in the air, basically. So you knew when you were going to cut that strap, you
that
were
going,
going for
straight
a
down.
Ride. Okay, crazy. And that was beautiful of the dog. You know, I heard of a rollover not long ago where the dog ran out of the cab during the accident, and it took them like a week, and somebody actually found the dog, I think, at a campground or something.
Oh,
they
wow.
were searching for the dog, yeah. In fact, I think the driver had died, and the dog just took off. But your dog stuck around. And,
he really didn't have anywhere he could go.
Yeah.
He was trapped in the cab with me.
Yeah.
And I kept trying to see if I could climb out. And it was a good thing I wasn't able to, because it was, I mean, the temperature.
So you were trapped in there.
We're trapped in there.
Wow.
Yeah, and there was nobody on those back roads.
Interesting. So, and how was the cell phone service?
Zero.
So you had no cell phone service, you're
no,
trapped?
My, the Qualcomm, I couldn't even send a message to my dispatch.
Wow, that's more bizarre than the accident. So
I didn't know that. I kept sending messages. I was like, why is nobody responding? Like, this thing always works. Why is nobody responding to this?
Yeah.
And And luckily there was a, I tried to get out a couple times, but it was so ice, it iced over quickly on that top side.
Yeah.
That I couldn't get a grip to pull myself up.
Wow.
I kept slipping down.
That's insane. So was the bunk heater, did you have a bunk heater or something to keep warm with? Or?
No.
Wow. What was the temperature?
Temperature at that time, I think my phone showed somewhere in the teens.
Wow.
It was dropping pretty quickly.
So here we are. Let's recap. You took the back road, GPS, and roads were clear when you first started.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, you're in the mix, and right. It's getting crazy. You hit a patch of ice, you almost recover. You hit another patch, you go over a 30-foot embankment. There you are at the bottom, rolled over on the passenger side. You're up in the air. You have to cut your seatbelt. You knew you were going to be dropping down a few feet, so you drop down, and now you're trapped in the truck, and it's in the teens. Cell phone's not working. Qualcomm's not working. When do you get rescued? How long does it take?
I want to say it was probably about 2 or 3 hours in there.
Okay. Somebody come yelling down, hey, you okay down there?
No, I actually, I kept honking the horn every so often.
Okay.
And eventually it got to where there was nothing left in the horn.
Wow.
And I had probably about one more time to do that horn.
All hope is almost gone.
And I see some taillights, and so I just held the horn down until it just stopped.
Mm.
And he stopped.
Wow.
He stopped, and because when he came down, he climbed up on the top. He's like, I saw the truck. He goes, I didn't know anybody was in here.
Wow. What, did you have a dry van at the time?
No, I had a reefer.
You had a reefer? Well, 53-foot.
Yeah, it's 53-foot.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I think I was carrying potatoes.
Wow. That's crazy.
And so he was like, I was like, can you help me get out? And he was like, he goes, you probably don't want to get out right now. He goes, the temperatures are pretty bad. He goes, you're probably better in there until help gets there. He goes, but I will go up to the road and call. So he did. He went up and called, and luckily, it was just my truck involved in the accident, and it went in a ditch. It didn't do any property damage or anything. But I guess the fire department got out there, and they came out, and they ended up having to take the windshield out.
Right.
Yeah.
To get you out.
Yeah, they took the windshield out and got me and the dog out. The dog actually tried to bite them.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah, the dog was pretty worked up at that point. And,
yeah.
They were reaching through the windshield trying to grab me, and he actually, he was nipping at their hands.
Mm. So they didn't hurt the dog, did they?
No.
Okay,
no.
Good.
No, I just told him, I was like, just move, let the dog come, let the dog go out.
Yeah.
So I threw the dog through the windshield, through the hole, and he ran off. I was like, well, hopefully he'll come back. But I got out, got the stuff I needed, and, I called him. It took a minute, but he came back, put a leash on him, and they went and checked me out in the ambulance, made sure I was okay.
Hmm. Do you have a family?
Yeah.
So you had to call them and tell them what happened? And
well, no, because I had already sent them text. So as soon as they got me up on the road in the ambulance, all my text messages went through. All the SOS and everything went through.
Wow.
So I had my dad calling, my wife calling.
Panic setting into your family now. They don't realize you're already rescued because all those texts went out almost like a text blast.
But yeah, basically. And,
wow.
My uncle called, and he, because I guess at first I didn't get their calls. I didn't have signal enough to get calls, but I could send out a text message.
Right.
So they were calling and not getting a hold of me for about a good 40 minutes.
Wow. What company were you driving for at the time?
I believe it was John Krishner.
Oh, so you were at JCT?
Yeah.
Recently bought out by Hirschbach.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So you were with Krishner. How long were you with them?
I was with them for, I think, right at a year.
That's an automatic termination when you are involved in a rollover if they deem it your fault. Did they
term you? Well, the way they did it is they didn't deem it my fault.
Right.
Cause
that's
like,
good.
There was no ticket issued or anything. Police didn't even show up to the scene.
Right. Good.
And so it was just a paramedic and one firefighter, I think, that showed up.
Right.
And so the way they did it was they were like, okay, they're like, you're going to have to take 30 days off, and then you can come back and get a new truck.
Okay.
And I was like, well, I can't do 30 days. I was like, I got to work.
So you had to go work for somebody else.
Yeah. So I told them, I said, well, I got to, I got to find something else. And they're like, well, if that's what you want to do, then that's fine. But it's a 30-day cool-off period, basically.
So they didn't actually mark you down for being terminated then?
No. And then later they did.
Oh.
And I actually had to call and fight that. I was like, that's not how, what, you know.
Yeah, see, that's the one thing about safety departments. They get all weird about that stuff, and then they want to kind of try to put the blame back on the driver.
Yeah.
I mean, it's clear that it was really weather-related beyond your control.
Right.
You slowed down. So when you rolled over, how fast were you going, do you think?
I think when I rolled over, I was right at 30.
At 30 mile an hour, so, and what was the speed limit on that back road?
On that back road, I think it was 50.
50. So you were well below the speed limit trying to, excuse me, trying to, you know, be safe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, honestly, sometimes it's just beyond a driver's control. You know, like you said, you're on a back road. There's nowhere to pull over. You can't just stop in the middle of the road and go to bed. You got to get to a safe place.
Right.
And for this storm to just kick up like that, what a nightmare.
Yeah.
I mean, and then the bizarreness of... when you rolled over, no cell phone, no Qualcomm, and you're trapped in the truck.
I mean, see, what's funny is I didn't get a response on that Qualcomm until 3 months later from dispatch.
Really?
Yeah, I'd already been working for another company, and dispatch called me, and they were like, hey, we see you're involved in a rollover. Are you okay?
Wow. So JCT, literally, their dispatchers... finally realized you're in a rollover 3 months later.
Right.
After you had already left and you're 2 months into your new job.
Right. And I was like, well, I said, if I wasn't that rollover, I was like, I'm frozen now by this point.
Yeah. I don't want to make fun of dispatchers, but I kind of feel like I want to. But we'll move on from there.
Yeah.
Wow, that's such a bizarre story that you came on to tell us. I really appreciate it. Is there anything that we missed on that story at all? I mean, it was...
No, I mean, it was pretty much...
Yeah.
Getting out of South Dakota was a pain in the butt from there.
So let me ask you that. So the fire department, they take you back to...
They took me back to that small town that I originally exited off the freeway from.
Put you in a hotel or whatever?
They literally dropped me in between two hotels.
Okay.
At a gas station. And the gas station told me, they were like, well, there's no rooms. They were like, but we have an empty part of the truck stop that used to be like a bar... casino type thing. He was like, you can just go sleep back there.
Really? So no room at the hotel. It's in the teens. You and the pooch are like in a whirlwind.
Yeah.
And at least somebody was kind enough to give you a room, so you didn't have to pay for that, did you?
No. And my uncle called me about an hour after I got there.
Right.
He was like, I found you a room at a hotel there. He goes, it's right across the street from you. He's like, I told him, I don't care if you got a broom closet, just something warm.
Right.
And so they found a room for me, and the gas station attendant found somebody that was willing to give me and the dog a ride across the street.
Yeah. So let me ask you, is there any advice that you've learned from that night that you can pass on to the audience that maybe would help? Could you have checked the weather even and said, you know, I see a storm coming up? I mean, is there something that you could say, this is what you might want to do to avoid this?
Yeah, I mean, check your weather. That weather app on your phone is pretty helpful.
Okay.
CBs are great.
We believe in them.
Yeah, I got one shortly after that, and then it worked for like a week and couldn't get it working again.
Must have been a chunker.
I don't know. It had a... Every time I could hear people clearly, but if I tried to talk, it was just static.
Yeah. I mean, if you got a cheap one, you get what you pay for. I mean, you should get a minimum. You should be getting
like $700 for the whole setup or something
like
that.
Well, then you got a good one. I don't know. Something doesn't sound...
I still
sound...
got it. I got to take it and get it looked at.
Yeah, I would definitely. If you paid $700 for the setup, because you can get a unit in a Cobra for under $200 and they're good.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would definitely have that checked out. But yeah, so good advice.
But yeah, definitely get a CB, check that weather app, you know. Talk with other drivers.
Yeah, exactly. Especially the weather map. We've got more tools today in driving than we had when I was a driver, and that's a great piece of advice, because especially when you're depending on where you're at in the country, and especially the time of the year, you should always be checking what's up ahead.
Right.
What's coming in. And you know what? You know how I check the weather, like in Florida, because I live in Florida a lot now. Well, I just check the radar.
Right.
I just check where the storms are coming from, because we fish in the Gulf a lot. And you know, if you got the right boat, you can go around the storms. But without checking, you just don't know. And especially in a tractor trailer, who knows what's coming.
Oh yeah, you gotta keep an eye on that. And dispatch, you know, some dispatches, not all of them, but some of them are pretty helpful. I know ours is pretty, if we call them, they're pretty on top of weather. And
with your current company?
With my current company, yeah. They're pretty on top of weather and, you know, tracking us and seeing exactly where we're at and, you know, telling us, oh yeah, you can avoid it by going this way, or no, use your judgment. There's no way around it, you know.
Yeah.
If you got to pull over, pull over.
Would have been nice to have a dispatcher like that night.
Yeah, well, we had night dispatch at that point, so.
Well, they didn't even know you rolled over for 3 months. So. No. Anyways, no worries. Well, listen, thank you for coming on and telling us this story. Truly appreciate it. And, you know, stay in touch with the show. We appreciate you always, James.
Will do.
All right, brother. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. If you're a driver looking for a new trucking job, check out NCI. NCI offers the following: new Kenworth T680s, competitive wages, solo, team, and students welcome, plus a full benefit package for you and your family. Check them out today at 888-311-7076. That's 888-7076. And tell them TalkCDL sent you. Hey drivers, are you sick of watching the other drivers bypass the weigh station while you are held up going through yourself? Well, download DriveWise today at www.drivewise.com. That's DriveWyze.com, and start bypassing the scales yourself. If you're a small carrier, an owner-operator, or even a big fleet looking for something better, check out DriveWise today. And remember, there's no equipment, no transponders needed when you're using DriveWise. Check them out for a free download at www.drivewyze.com. Drivers, if you're looking for a local, home, everyday driving job, apply with Carter Lumber today. They have positions for Class A and Class B local drivers. They can take experienced drivers, students, and non-CDL drivers. With over 160 locations, chances are they have a position for you. So go to carterlumber.com/talkCDL and apply today. Again, that's carterlumber.com/talkCDL. Thank you. Truck Parking Club is a network of instantly reservable daily and monthly truck parking locations throughout the U.S. Truck Parking Club helps connect truckers to truck parking locations throughout the U.S. via truckparkingclub.com. Our networks is made up of property owners that have locations adequate for truck parking to list on the platform. This includes trucking companies, storage companies, CDL schools, trailer leasing companies, real estate investors, truck parking operators, and more. Go to truckparkingclub.com today.